Praise God indeed. Hope everyone's doing well, and what a beautiful day the Lord's given us. Just a wonderful time, the Lord. Just, I'm going to ask y'all if you would, let's just stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We've got some folks coming in. Opportunity just to lift up to the Lord each and every situation and just praise Him. Anyone with a prayer request tonight, just show by the raising of your hand. Please, each and every one. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Definitely. Yes, brother. Got to keep him safe on that journey. Absolutely. I know there's a lot traveling from what I'm hearing this week with it being spring break and kids out. So. Absolutely. Any other spoken prayer requests? I don't want to miss anyone. Yes, ma'am. Mr. Brenda. Absolutely. Anyone else with a spoken prayer request? I don't want to miss anyone. Brother Eddie, would you lead us in a
prayer? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you. Thank you. Together together, I pray that. God, we ask you to reach out to those who need every spoken. God, I just ask you to have your hand in this place. Let it be for your honor.
Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I know I'm going to change the song that we're going to do. You're just playing Jesus. And I think with all the prayer requests and all the situations been brought forth in our congregation, it's our family, our church family. We love each and every one of you. But there's about one name and one name only that we can go to God, and that's because of Jesus. So let's all, if I'll guess y'all, just to worship with me, and let's do Jesus a couple of times.
Savior.
praise you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, we thank you, dear Lord, for your heavenly presence, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and grace. Lord, we thank you for answered prayers, dear Lord. We thank you for your provisions in our lives, dear Lord, for the families that we have. Lord, we just love and praise you. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, we just want to lift you up and honor you. The Lord, we know that you're with us. Lord, we know that your light shine now through this service, through everything done tonight, dear Lord, just to worship and praise you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise. Praise God. You may be seated if you can. I just feel the flow of the Lord this evening. I know he's been with us all day. He's with us all the time. And it's just up to us. And I love the picture and the story that I was always told growing up about being saved. And I remember this from Sunday school back when we were a little block church that down in the basement, you know, they built the basements first, or at least in our area, they built the basements first. And when they could afford it, they put the sanctuary on top. But I remember the picture being shown, and it was Jesus standing at a door knocking. I remember it as clear as I'm looking at it right now. But one thing we were taught about that door in that picture and the way the artist depicted it, there was not a doorknob on the outside where Jesus was. It was up to us to open that door and let him in. And that's what we need to do now with so many things that come against us and so many things that we face. And know that he's always there. We were talking about at Sunday school this morning how you can look back and just think, wow, look what God's done. Look where he's brought us from. Look, because I know me, and I know what he's brought me from. And I just praise his holy name. We love you tonight. We just love you, love you, love you. We're going to get ready and take up the evening offering. Got a couple of quick announcements. We are going to have this coming Sunday, as y'all know, is Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday, as we celebrate. And we're going to be celebrating it together. As always, we're going to we're going to have a play, a presentation brought forth, and we're really, really excited about it. Want to invite each and every one of you. Going to ask you to come to Sunday school first, though. They'll be working over the Curtis Center, working with sound, getting the final things set up. So if you will, when you come in, come on into Sunday school. And if it's your first time to visit, come on in. We'd love to have you. And also, don't forget about the lilies. It's a wonderful tradition that this church does, and I love it. And you could bring a lily to represent someone in your family, one or your parents, your grandparents, however you want to do it, and just to honor them. And if you would, put on a card their name, please, and print it so it's easy to read. And we'll have a moment of silence, and we'll also go through the lilies with the names on it. So that'll be a wonderful time. That's this coming Sunday morning, so make plans. Also, April 22nd, is that the right? April 22nd, it's a Saturday morning at 8 a.m. We're going to have our church work day. Spring is here. There's a lot to be done. Miss Penny says, just bring your gloves and get ready. The stuff inside and outside, so male, female, it doesn't matter. And we just want to invite everybody to come join us. It's also a great morning of fellowship, too. So the more we can get in, we can get things done. It's just a great time. So we thank y'all for that. That's the only... Nothing? And also a great thing about Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is we will be having service that evening, and it will be a communion service. Also, make plans to come. And if you're bringing grandparents and all for the play or anyone, the visitors, also they're invited back Sunday night with us, Sunday evening too, to be at 6 p.m., so like normal. But praise the Lord. All righty, praise God. Brother Thomas, if you'd ask the Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Y'all get two for the price of one tonight. How about that? All righty. That is a deal, isn't it, Pastor? Y'all worship the Lord. You know, I can't help but every time I read the title of this song, it says, I've come too far. And I can't help but just ask myself, how much further have I got to go? How much longer will we have to go? We don't know that, but I'm thankful for the years that I have already given Christ. I am. I wouldn't take anything in the world for them. I haven't always been as close to Him as I need to be, but He knows my heart right now, and He knows that I love Him dearly. There's not anything that comes before Christ in my life. Y'all worship the Lord. Listen to the words. It's got a beautiful meaning. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to love have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartache is over, for I left it at Calvary, where my new life began. I've come too far to look back. My freedom walked through the valley. Oh, I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I've known. But I'm nearing the home shore, the redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. Will give you a broken dream, full of sorrow and fear. Turn around, don't look back again. Face the new day before you. Place your heartache in Jesus' hand, for He can mend broken dreams. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, desert places I know. But I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. I've climbed mountains, crossed rivers, oh, desert places I know. But I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back. But I'm nearing the home shore. The redeemed are rejoicing. Heaven's angels are singing. I've come too far to look back.
out on the waters, storms raging high. The waters around them were troubled that night. Fear filled their hearts, they felt they would die. They failed to remember the Master was nigh. He spoke the words and the winds all stood still. Even the waters obey His will. He calmed their storm just like He will mine. If I just remember, He lives deep inside. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, He stays always near? He lives in my heart and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. We read in the Bible, when He walked with them, brought light to the darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and death seems so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know He'll get there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, He stays always near? He lives in my heart and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, He stays always near? He lives in my heart and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear when the very same Jesus, He stays always near? He lives in my heart and He hears when I cry. I'll call on His name till the storm passes by. Just call on His name till every storm passes by. To the darkness when the way grew dim. How great it would be to have His footsteps in mine and walk with the Master all of the time. And when trials come and tests seem so nigh, I'll call on the Master. I know He'll get there on time. And when sickness comes and my body's in pain, all I have to do is call on His name. So why should I worry? Why should I and the very same Jesus. He stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. So why should I worry? Why should I fear? When the very same Jesus, he stays always near. He lives in my heart, and he hears when I cry. I'll call on his name till the storm passes by. Just call on his name till every storm passes by.
Earns.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. You know, I'm going to sing my old standby here. I'm going to sing the Lighthouse. But long, long, long time ago, when I was a young fellow and first got saved, you remember how it felt when you first got saved? You wanted to tell everybody what just happened. And then people would look at you in amazement. You know? Today, they would think you'd done ecstasy or something like that. You know, something weird. That guy's not quite right. You know, I'm still not right. But when I was younger and was going to get ready to go to church, mom and them, you know, you're going to load up and you're going to go. I wasn't saved, but I knew, you know, when not to be there. You go, well, tonight is not the night to be at church. I can already feel it, you know. Tell me you hadn't felt it. You got to remember it. Then you go and you walk in. You go, oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Tonight was not tonight to be there. So I would try everything that I could sitting on the back pew back there with all the people that I hung out with to get my mind off of it. You know, just teenager. And your mom would snap around, look at you every now and then and go, you know, you need to pay attention. Well, this one time, praise the Lord. We was in revival. And mama said, you got to come and hear this woman. You got to come and hear this woman preach. And I said, if she's a woman, I'm not going to go listen to her. You know, just that old pig-headed stuff. But I went anyway. And I didn't feel anything this time like, whoa, should I go? Should I not go? I went. And as soon as I got there, so I got my mind off of it, you know. I said, I'll just do anything. So she gave an altar call. And the odd thing about it is they were singing ministries, and they sang the song that Susan and everybody just sang. And I said, I tell you what, I said, these people here, if there's three go down, I'll go. We've all done it. Nobody was moving, so I thought my chances were pretty good. And then one went. And then three. And I said, you don't want me to go. But when I got there, I told him, I said, all right, three went, so I'm going. And I went. And that was the best day of my life when I left. He saved my soul. I slept better that night than I had ever slept. And from that point on, I wanted to tell everybody what had taken place. But I had this one woman, and I'm not going to call any denominations or anything, but she was my test. And she would put me through the ringers. And she'd go, you know, this weekend you're going to want to go out, just like every boy your age. You're going to want to go. And I said, I'm going to go. But I'm just not going to do the same things I used to do when I went. She was my test. She was my aunt. And she's a Christian today. And we see eye to eye. This song right here, just bear with me. Y'all know the song as well as I do. Help me sing it. But there's every time I sing this song, I cannot not think about that time and what it took for me to go down to the altar that day. So y'all sing with me. There's a lighthouse on the hillside that overlooks life's seas. And when I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead me, Lord. And if it wasn't for that old lighthouse, my shoes said no more. Y'all listen to this part right here. Everybody that lived around me says, tear that lighthouse down. You know the big ships, they don't sail that way anymore. There's no use in it hanging around. But when my mind goes back, it still stands there on the hill, and I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Oh, Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, around me, that I might clearly see. And if it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? If not for the lighthouse, tell me, where would this ship be? Thank you, Lord.
Thank God for the light. Amen. Amen. What a beautiful song. And this song's been great tonight. Amen. Used to be a common theme. Amen. That the Lord's going to be with us. Amen. I've come too far. Amen. Haven't you? Amen. Nothing to go back to. Let's do it and see.
Too many miles behind me. Too many trials are through. Too many tears help me to remember. There's too much to gain. Many sunsets lie behind the mountains. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain. Isn't that the truth? Well, I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Somewhere up ahead there's cool, clear water, and if it is one word I won't use. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many rivers my feet have walked through. Many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Can you identify with the second verse? I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling the right road to choose. Oh, but somewhere up ahead there's cool, clear water, and defeat is one word I won't use. Sing it with me, church. Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain, and too many rivers my feet have walked through. Too many treasures are waiting over yonder. There's too much to gain to lose. Yes, there's too much to gain to lose.
How many's thankful where God brought you from? How many's glad where he's going to take you? Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. God is good. Can you say amen? God is timely. I said God's on time. He knows our needs ever before we know them. In fact, he knows our needs ever before they arise in our life. And he's able to meet those needs. I want to bring a message tonight, one that many years ago I brought a message from this particular passage of Scripture. God's been dealing with me this day on this particular Scripture. Now, I'm pretty sure I will not preach it the same way I did many years ago, But I do want to revert to that particular passage of Scripture, because I believe God has a message for someone here tonight. Man, as I already said, God knows our needs. If you would go with me to the book of Isaiah, in the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, I want to read verse 18 and 19. I desire your prayers tonight, that I would be able to deliver what I feel that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I just want to go ahead and say you're not here by chance tonight. You're not here by coincidence. God knew that you were going to be here, and he knew the need that you would have. I just want to go ahead and set that right. Amen. God knows. Turn to your neighbor and say, God knows. Reading from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Everybody say, new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, how we love you and how we thank you. God, for your precious spirit, for the anointing, God, for the sweetness that is in this church tonight. Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint this vessel. God, use these lips tonight, God, to speak to us. God, that you would have us to hear. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will. Father, I pray, God, that you would give me the liberty, God, and the deliverance tonight to bring forth what I feel that you've laid upon my heart. God, I pray that it would go out. I pray, God, that it would meet the need that you would intend it to meet tonight. And help us, Lord, right now, God, to just be listening and focused on you and you alone tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. For message topic tonight, it would simply be rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. I'm not sure exactly how much we know about deserts. We've read about them. We've seen pictures. We've did reports on them. But I've never really spent a lot of time in the desert. But I understand that they can be a very barren place, void of vegetation. And seemingly one can get disoriented and lost in the desert. Seems like that they would see things that were really not there. Now they tell me, certain things in the desert called oases. Those oases would be there, a little bit of vegetation and greenery, and there might be a little spring or a little pond of water, but sometimes people would see things and think that it was an oasis, and they would get there and it would not be an oasis at all. So I would think that a long period of time spending in the wilderness or in the desert, things would begin to affect your mind and even affect your vision. And here Isaiah is alluding to the situation that Israel is in at this particular time. If you know me, you know that I spend a lot of time in the book of Isaiah and also in Jeremiah talking about the children of Israel who've already crossed the Red Sea, who've already crossed the wilderness journey, and are now living in the promised land that God told Abraham that his seed would be at the sands of the sea, and he would bless them. But now we find that Israel again is turning their back on God, and this is a time, an extended time, when things have not been well for the nation of Israel, for God's people. In fact, the preceding chapter tells us that there were times when God was speaking through Isaiah, and he told them to remember not the former things, to forget those things. Now, he's not talking about forgetting the blessings. He's not talking about the deliverance of them out of the land of Egypt. But he's telling them that he was going to make a way. And he was telling them that during this time, you've been a people robbed and spoiled by the enemy. You've been a people that is hid in the prison houses. You've been a people that's been snared in holes. You've been a people and a nation that is easy prey for the enemy. I'd like to bring that to today's time. I would like to bring that in a way that the adversary, Satan, may try to corner us sometimes, and we may be a child of God. We may be born again. We may be filled with His Spirit. We may be a Christian living a Christian life, but many, many times we find ourselves in a spiritual desert, void of some of the happiness, void of some of the joy, void of some of the victory, amen, that we as a child of God ought to really encompass, just as the children of Israel there. So basically, robbed and spoiled, I ask you tonight, what has the enemy stolen from you? What has the adversary taken away from you? Not the Spirit of God. He can't touch that. Amen. Stay with me tonight. Devil, you can't touch that. Amen. Tell him like you mean it. The devil, you can't touch that. But how many knows he can come against all that you have and your body and flesh as well? Snared in holes. I ask you tonight, are you feeling trapped? Feeling that there's no way out? Feeling like this is as good as it gets. They hid in prison houses. I might ask you tonight, do you feel like at times you're spiritually bound? You don't have the victory or the deliverance to worship and praise and glorify God like you really, like your spirit wants to, but you kind of feel spiritually bound. Are you easy prey for the enemy? Do you have a mindset that you're almost ready to give up? Does the devil or adversary tell you, or situations tell you, it's not going to get any better? Then you are a prime candidate for the deliverance of God. You are exactly what this particular passage of Scripture refers to. Again, I want to read it to you. Remember ye not the former things. Remember not that you were spoiled and robbed. Remember not that you were snared in holes. Remember not that you were hidden in prison houses. Remember not that you were easy prey for the enemy. Because I, God, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, am about to do something new in your life. I'm going to do something that you probably not even going to realize where it's coming from or how it happened. That's the reason they call them miracles. Amen? Because we can't justify them. We can't really explain it. We just know that God made a way out of no way. Can I get a witness? Can I get a testimony tonight? Has God ever entered into your situation and turned things around for you? Can you say amen? Well, I was preaching this particular message or a message similar to this from this scripture at another church. Many, many years ago, had no idea what was going on in the congregation, had no idea what the needs of people were there. I was just called by the pastor to come and preach, and I did, and I delivered what God laid upon my heart. As soon as I closed the message, a young woman sitting about midway back on my right-hand side rose up, came down to the altar. Before she could get to the altar, she broke down in tears, tears streaming from her face. I had no idea, never met the lady before, never met her family, didn't know anything about her. And she came up and she said, "Preacher, that scripture speaks to my life." And she began to share a little bit, but not really nothing in great detail. But people began to pray around her, and God came on the scene. Are you glad that God can come on the scene? You so God knew exactly what she was going through. God knew exactly the desert. God knew exactly the dryness, the spiritual dryness that she had been in, walking through and trying to get through with this. And somehow, some way, you know, God laid it on a preacher to come and bring this particular message of hope to this lady. She got victory that night. Amen. God blessed her and anointed her. And later on, the pastor began to share some things that had been troubling her. This was not a woman who was lost. This was not a woman who very rarely attended church. This was not a non-believer. This was a saint of God. I said, this was a saint of God. This was a dedicated, committed, and faithful woman, along with her husband, who were vital parts of the church. But in her situation, whatever the reason, I never asked her. I didn't ask the pastor. He just told me that she had been going through some trials and some tribulation, and she was almost at the point of throwing her hands up and quitting. You know what? Never, ever do that, because when you do that, you're right on the verge of your deliverance. You're right on the verge of victory. And Satan don't want you to know that, but let me tell you, if you don't get anything else out of this message, you understand that when you get to that point, God's about to do a new thing in your life. God's about to do something that you didn't even realize that was going to happen in your life. God delivered her. God placed her back in the working of the church as she should have been. Amen. She didn't backslide. She didn't lose out with God. She just simply got lost in the desert. In the dryness. Boy, if you ever get into that mindset, Satan's all over you. It's all over you. Everywhere you look, it's dry. Everywhere you look, it's hopeless. You can't seem to find your way out. Tell me, once you get in the desert, you lose your sense of direction. You could be thinking you're walking out and you're walking further in. And somehow this woman had got into that situation. You know what? I'm not picking on this woman. It's happened to a lot of people. So many times we lose our focus. So many times we lose our spiritual way. Amen. And the best way that I know to do it is just give it to God. Turn it over to Him and say, Lord, you know what? I can't handle this, but you can. But the scripture here tells us, and she said that day, she said, I found my river. I found my river. I want to tell you something. We pray sometimes, and I'm guilty of this, and we pray and we have a preconceived notion or idea how God's going to do it. And sometimes even when He's going to do it. I'm guilty. I can always, sometimes when I'm praying in faith and I'm asking God to intervene or help me in a situation, I can almost in my mind think, well, this is a step one, step two, step and three, the way that God's going to do it. You know what? He takes my direction and He wads it up and throws it away. Because He's going to do it His way. And He's going to make the impossible possible. I want you to understand. Isaiah used a desert, a wilderness. And he said, God spoke to him and said, I'm going to put not an oasis. I want you to know the difference. And I'm not much on geography, but an oasis in my spirit, God spoke to me and said, an oasis is a Band-Aid. An oasis is a temporary fix. And whoever I'm speaking to tonight, you've had enough of them. It's time to get a river flowing in your life. Come on. Not just a little spot of water. Not just a little spot of vegetation and one to get me to the next oasis. I've heard people just give the devil all kind of credit and say, you know what, I can't hardly make it from service to service. You need a river flowing in your desert. Amen. Glory to God. I've often said if the only place I could ever feel the Spirit of the Lord was here in church, I'd pack a lunch and never leave. But the God I serve, amen, the Spirit that He has given me, the Comforter, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, it goes with me everywhere I go, through my ups and downs, through my trials, through my situations. God is always there. Amen. If you're a child of God, a born-again Christian, you can have rivers flowing in your desert. But isn't that impossible? I want to point out something. He did not say river. There's an S in it. There's an S on it. And I think about one river and how it flows and flows and flows. It's kind of different than the little lakes and ponds. You remember several years ago, two or three years ago, we had a horrific drought. And many of the ponds just, I mean, we're way down. The lake out there where we live went way, way down. But you know what? The rivers got down a little bit, but they kept flowing. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. is still flowing. Through the hardships, through the trials, through the tribulations, through the sickness, through the affliction, that river's still flowing. In the midst of a desert, in the midst of a wilderness, and an impossibility. And you say, Brother Eddie, how can God do that? I don't know. He's God. He doesn't need my opinion. He doesn't need my advice. He's able to do things that I could never, ever do, and even do things I could never dream of. Again, I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, I want to read something for you. I want to go to, well, first of all, I want to rehearse this right here. Here's A, B, C, D, E. Remember not the former things. Everybody say, forget those things. Okay? Forget those things that's bugging me. Forget those things that I've had problems with. Forget those things that have stealed and robbed my joy. God is going to do a new thing. You got faith tonight. You don't have to say it outward, but say it in your spirit. God's going to do a new thing. God's going to do a new thing. Now, everybody say now. This is scripture. It shall spring forth. A spring forth means it's going to come quickly. Now, you got faith to believe the word of God? You may not realize. He says, shall you not know it? You just need to know that God's going to do it. You don't need to know how he's going to do it. You just need to know that God's doing it. I'm going to get there. And then God said, I will. What? Make a way in the wilderness into your nothingness. And I will put rivers in the desert into your spiritual dryness. God will do that. Why? Because God had pity on the children of Israel. God didn't do this because they earned it. God didn't do this because they was living a righteous life. In fact, many of them had turned their back on God and forgot to offer up sacrifices and forgot to worship in the tabernacle and forgot to obey the laws and the precepts and the commandments of the Old Testament, seemingly had lost their way in a spiritual wilderness. God had mercy on them and pity on them. And in chapter number 42 and verse number 16, God spoke to Isaiah and said, and I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord, God that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I'm telling you tonight, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Verse number 15 and 16. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh the way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. This are the promises that God has told Isaiah to share with the people. And finally tonight in the 25th verse of the 43rd chapter, I am he that blotteth out thy righteousness, thy transgressions rather, for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Somebody ought to put your hands together and say, thank you, Lord. So that tells me it was not because of their goodness. It was not because of their obedience. It was not because of their dedication. But it was because of the love of God. He said, I want you to forget about those things. I want to tell somebody, I want you to forget about those problems. I want you to forget about those issues. I want you to forget about those struggles. Amen. God's going to put a river in the midst of your desert. You know, he could have said, you know what? I'm just going to pluck you out of the desert. All things are possible, right? But God said, no, I'm just going to put a river right there into your dryness, into your wilderness, into whatever you're walking through. As I was preparing and praying, God brought to my remembrance a situation that happened years and years ago concerning running out of options. That's a bad way to be, running out of options. I have had an opportunity to sit in my office and counsel with folks and listening to them. I do more listening than I do talking when I'm counseling. I found out that helps a lot of people just to kind of get it off their chest and begin to talk and have somebody to listen and pray with them. But in very many cases, what I do see is a common theme is they've run out of options, they think. And you know why I think it is that we run out of options? Is because we've tried to fix it ourselves. We've tried every way we know. And I've had them tell, Pastor, I've done everything I know to do to fix this. And then I just, have you turned it over to God? And they'll say, well, yeah, you know God knows what I... No, that's not what I... Have you forgot those things behind you? Have you forgot the problem, the situation, the whatever it is that's bogging you down? Have you forgotten it? Meaning, Lord, I'm placing it in your hands, and I'm forgetting about it, and I'm going to go on and enjoy the river that you're going to put in my desert. It's just very terrifying when you run out of options. My granddaddy pastored a church in Rockmart, Georgia. Y'all know that for years and years and years. He told the story many, many times. He worked at Goodyear plant there in Rockmart, and he worked the third shift. So working the third shift, he would come in the mornings, and he would go straight to bed, and he would get up around 3 or 4. That's when he'd have his meal and get ready to do all of his errands before he would go to work on the third shift. Well, on this day, and I don't recall if it was probably in the middle of the week because he was coming home from work, he has a phone call from a sister that was in the church, maybe not as regular as she should, but was in the church. And she lived in a neighboring town. She lived in Cartersville. And the message was, pray for me. And Brother Bailey said, you know, well, hearing that, I was, you know, definitely going to pray for her. And he got in there to his bedroom and started to get ready. And God said, go see about her now. But Lord, you know, I've worked all night. You know, and I know, you know my granddaddy. My granddaddy was faithful, but he said he came to his mind, you know, Lord, can I go see her when I get up this evening? You know, kind of trying to rationale with God. And God said, no, you need to go see her now. So that was the first thing. And so he goes to my grandmother and he says, I need you to go with me to Cartersville, and I need to see this particular lady that God has laid up on my heart. She needs prayer. God said, go to her now. My grandmother couldn't. She said, there's no way, something was going on. There's no way I can go. And you know, the devil says, well, you don't need to go there by yourself. You don't need to go see that woman by yourself. God said, I said, go. So that's the second opportunity. That's the second excuse, maybe, that my granddaddy had not to go at that particular time. How many knows that God's timing is immaculate and we don't need to try to put him off when he wants us to do something? So my granddaddy says, well, you know, God... I'll go, you know, I'll just go. I put my faith and trust in you. So he goes to Cartersville, and then he realizes he doesn't know exactly where she lives. He thinks he remembers a street that was mentioned, but he's not certain. So he goes, and he asks somebody for this particular street. They direct him to the street. He goes to the street. There's several houses. He doesn't know which house. There's the third excuse. Well, God, I've come this far, but I don't know which house. I don't have to go knocking on all these houses. So the Lord kept tugging. You need to go to this lady's house. So he knocks on the door and says, do you know Sister so-and-so or sister, you know? Yeah, do you know which house she lives in? She directed him to the house. So my granddaddy gets back in the car, drives down the street, gets out, goes up to the house that this sister lives, and whole time he's praying, God, you know, make a way, whatever. I don't understand this. You know, this is probably not the best thing to do, but anyway, I'm trying to obey you. Knocks on the door. Nobody answers. Knocks just a little bit louder and a little bit harder. Still nobody answers. What's that? Third, fourth excuse? Okay, God, I've done what you asked me to do, but I can't burst the door down and go in. She's not at home. I'll just leave. So he starts to walk down the steps, and he hears the doorknob turning. So he turns back around, walks back to the door. The door is now cracked just a little bit. And she says, Brother Bailey, I'm so glad you're here. I heard you knocking, but I couldn't come. Please come in and have prayer with me. So he goes in, begins to pray. She tells him, when you first walked up the steps and knocked on the door, I was in the bathroom. I had the gun to my head, and I was about to pull the trigger. But your knock stopped me. Did I say God's timing is immaculate? God's timing is always right. After all of those possible excuses, he obeyed God. She said, I had the gun to my head. I was going to end it all because I just did not see any way out. And then I didn't hear it knock again. But then you knocked again, and I put the gun down. And she said, that's when I came and I opened the door and saw who that was. And she said, God truly had to send you. And God was there. My granddaddy prayed for her. The lady started coming to church regularly. God blessed her. I've seen her shout under the power of God. Amen. I don't know if she's still alive today or not. Probably she's rejoicing in the streets of heaven. But she was in a wilderness. She was in spiritual dryness. She saw no way out, and she was about to end it all. Didn't realize that somebody's going to knock on a door at the very time that she was about to end it all. God will put a river in the middle of your desert. God will make a way when there is not only seemeth no way, that there is absolutely no way. Amen. God will make a way. God said, I will blot out your past and will not remember thy sins. I'll bless you. And this is what really pricks my heart. I'll bless you when you really don't even deserve it. I don't deserve the blessings of God. I'm thankful for them. But there's nothing righteous about me except the Spirit of the Lord that is within me. And I want to tell you something tonight. Don't feel bad. Don't feel ashamed that maybe you're walking through a spiritual dryness, through a seemingly unending desert, that you're just kind of going through the motions. Don't really have the joy you once had. Don't really have the victory that you once had. What does it say? Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, and rivers, plural, in the desert. Glory to God. Can you say amen? Can you say thank you, Lord? Thank you for your love. Lord, thank you, God, that you care. You're aware. You know the situations that I'm walking through. You know the dryness of this wilderness. You know the unending things that happen time and time again. But God, I'm ready now to receive. Lord, I'm ready to receive that river, that holy anointing. You would stand tonight with every head bowed and every eye closed. If the music would come, can't help but feel that I've delivered my heart. I've delivered what God laid upon my heart. You can have a river in the midst of your desert. You can have victory. Just when you thought all hope was gone. Just then when you thought you could never enjoy life anymore, God stepped in and made a way. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Hallelujah. Praise God. This altar is open. I know the Lord. will make a way for me. How many believes that? Just worship the Lord. God wanted to bless you tonight. God wanted to open up the river.
I know
for
the
you.
Lord will make a way for me.
Do you believe that?
I know the Lord will make a way.
For me,
if I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right,
I know the Lord will make a way for me. If you sing, if you believe that, sing it with us.
I know the Lord will make a way. For me,
yes, He will.
I know the Lord
will make a way
for me. If I live a holy life, shun the wrong and do the right,
I know the Lord will make a way for me. Some of you believers, if you would.
I know the Lord will surely see me through. I know the Lord will surely see me through. When my path is dark and drear, I know the Lord will surely see me through. I know the Lord will help me do the right. I know the Lord will help me do the right. Through the I know the Lord will help me do the right. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way.
Thank you.
will make a way for me.
Sometimes I'm not supposed to, but when God puts them on my heart, I can't shake it, you know. I was reading and I was watching a sermon, and it was crazy, but the pastor speaking of how Joseph was in the land of his affliction, how he was fruitful in the land. Brother threw him in a pit, and he kept on persevering in his life, you know. When he was a second of command, he said, God was fruitful in the land of my affliction. I've had 20 different addresses in my life. Grew up in a home of addiction. I've been a little bit through the ringer, not as bad as most, but, you know, now God's blessed me with a woman, you know, and a wonderful family, and I have a home. When I had 20 addresses, when I have this home, I'm still in the land of my affliction. I'm out with my Lord and Savior. And even though I'm in the land of my affliction, God's been fruitful, you know, and he's gave me victory. Even though he's given me victory, I still fall short and I still get angry with God and I still ask God, why was it me? Why did you put me through all that stuff? And pull me out of the grave so many times, but the same grave he's pulled me out of, I've looked down in that grave and I was comfortable in that grave and I wanted to stay in my sin. That's where I was comfortable. I was comfortable in my sin. So I laid in the grave he's pulled me out of. I'm not like the blind man. When the blind man was healed, he took off his clothes. I put my clothes back on because I liked the clothes I was in. But I want to tell somebody right now, when God pulls you out of your grave, don't go back and lay in it. Walk in the victory he's given you, like Brother Eddie said tonight. Now, he's put a river in your desert. It's time that we walk in the river, that we don't go walk the other way where he put the river at. And I'm telling you right now, once you realize you're a child of the Most High King, that you deserve to die and go to hell. But even though you deserve to die and go to hell, he saved you and died on the cross. Even though I don't deserve what he done for me. I deserve to die and I deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve in my life. But even though I deserve that, he died on the cross for a sinner like me. Even though that he died for me, and I still fall short and I still lay back in my grave. I tell you tonight to walk in the victory. Don't go back to what he's pulled you out of. Don't go back to what he's done told you, he's healed you of. Don't go back to worrying and have the anxiety and depression he's pulled you out of. But walk in the victory that he's given you.
That's right. That is so true.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Yeah, I was just in my personal worship. I was, as we were with the singing the prayers this morning and knowing they're being answered, seeing the victories tonight, knowing God is continuously giving us victory and his peace that he can allow each and every one of us to have. As it was just said much better by Luke, Brother Luke, it's just, we got to receive it and walk in that victory. Praise God. I know he's answered prayers today. I know there's victories. I know we're going to hear testimonies of praise. I know he's been with us in each and every situation. Even for those of you watching online, know that, you know, God is right there for you. Jesus is alive. And anyone that says different is a liar. And we just love him. We praise him. Lord, it's been a wonderful day in the service, a wonderful day in the house of the Lord. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. Let's continue to worship the Lord. Thank you for his answered prayers. Don't forget how great God is and the many victories that he's brought us, that he's given us, and the things he's brought us through. All righty. Well, if all hearts and minds clear, we're going to get ready to dismiss. But I want to invite each and every one of you back Wednesday night for service. Each and every one of you back for Sunday morning to celebrate Resurrection Sunday with us. If you'd like to bring your lilies and the names that you'd like to bring them in memory of, please bring them. And it'll be a wonderful day in the Lord also. Don't forget the communion that Sunday evening. There's a lot going on. Let's get involved. Let's let God use us in his service. Amen. Amen. Let's get ready just to depart. We just love each and every one of you. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word, dear Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be part of the services today. Lord, we thank you for answering prayers. Lord, we thank you for hearing our cries. Dear Lord, for setting a situation for us, putting us in a better place than we ever thought we would be. Lord, we love you. We praise you, dear Lord. We thank you for each and every one here. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time. Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory in the most precious name above, in the name of Jesus Christ. We all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful evening. Praise the Lord.